Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Aware Show. This is Lisa Garr. So would you like to find out how to focus a little bit better, or reduce stress, or lower blood pressure, or maybe just have a greater sense of calm so that you can deal with the everyday's stressors? Or maybe just, how about increasing your capacity to learn new things and focus and pay attention to things? How about even reducing inflammation in the body? Did you know that all of the things that I just mentioned, even where it comes to scanning the body as to what's wrong, building emotional intelligence, the list goes on and on and on, can be all done with one thing. And, are you ready? Drum roll. Meditation. Get it? But it's not necessarily the go to the top of a mountaintop, learn from the guru type of meditation. This has got to be practical. It's got to be something that you can fit into your daily life 3-4 times a day, maybe, 5 minutes. And so that it becomes a part of your life so that you can achieve all these wonderful, wonderful benefits with something you do with your mind. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Joining me is Dr. Elijah Goldstein. He is a traditional psychotherapist, and he has used his wonderful integration of mindfulness practices in his psychotherapy practice to achieve, well, one thing that he has is a book called The Now Effect. And he's joining us today. Welcome, Elijah. How are you?
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks, Lisa.
Yeah, it's really great to have you here. So this is something that can help so many people, but it's not the first thing. You know, when I was reading off that list, people were probably ready for a pill, a supplement, something, not mindfulness practices. Why have we been so conditioned out of healing our bodies with our mind?
Well, I think for a long time we've been conditioned to want kind of a quick fix. Our brain is wired to fix and problem solve, and even when it comes to stress, when we're really stressed, what our brain does in order to fix it is it worries about it. So it's an anticipation machine, and so it jumps into the future and says, what's going on in my body? There's something off here. What can I do to fix it? But it does it in kind of a frantic way. And the more frantic it gets, the more our body starts to react, and then we become more stressed. And so that's why people kind of inevitably end up being chronically stressed over time, or maybe even fall into things like panic attacks, or feel so helpless that they fall into more depressive states. And it's really sometimes people ask, what's our biggest obstacle for stress? And I kind of point to this, you know, multi-pound piece of tofu in between our ears and say it's our brain. And while our brain is so wonderful and mysterious in so many ways, it's kind of simple as well in some ways. We want to get away from what's uncomfortable and move towards what's comfortable. And when we do have discomfort, we want to fix it quickly. But there's other ways, and science over the last 15 years at a place like Harvard and UCLA and University of Wisconsin, Michigan, all these different places are finding that, you know, there's this very powerful and practical method that can be a support to us, not just with our stress, but lifestyle change in general. And we could talk more about that, but there's all kinds of incredible benefits to this.
It's interesting because there's, you know, the whole idea of mindfulness has been around forever. I mean,
right.
Forever. It's just nothing new. There's new research being done on it, which tends to validate it a little bit more. But tell us a little bit about the history of mindfulness and how it was used to heal.
Well, I'll say this. I guess I'll say this to start off the answer to that question, which is just like mindfulness. Just mean, what is it? What are we talking about?
Right.
Mindfulness means awareness. I mean, that's the basic definition of it. And who doesn't already have that? And, you know, we all have awareness just in pockets of moments of our day.
Yeah, yeah.
And but there's also a practice to it, which is the one that you're pointing to. And so in a lot of ways, it's a universal practice. It doesn't matter if you're agnostic, a-religious, an atheist, or spiritual in whatever way that you are. You know, every tradition that we have has mindfulness, that sense of awareness, integrated into it. And then there's also this practice, which is this, you know, kind of intentionally paying attention to the here and now as a practice while putting aside our program biases of the past, of something that's good or bad or right or wrong. In other words, we're just engaging something with a sense of curiosity, but in a very systematic and practical way. And, you know, this has a lineage back thousands of years. The way it's being used right now in a lot of the more scientific circles does come back from a lineage in the Buddhist tradition, where people were kind of sitting and paying attention to something in the moment, and whether it was the body, different lineages have different experiences, but whether it was the body or the breath or sounds, and when they were paying attention to it and being curious about it, their minds would often wander, and you could start getting to know yourself really well as you do this, because you start to know how automatic your mind wanders off into different places or what's on your mind. And over time, people started experiencing great calm with this, and maybe even a sense of, wow, I'm not my thoughts. This is a revelation.
Right, yes.
You know, these things just kind of pop up automatically. Just like I can hiccup, and I'm not this hiccup. My mind just kind of hiccups all the time with these thoughts, and I don't need to believe everything I think, and there's great freedom in that. There's amazing freedom in knowing that I'm not my self-judgments, and I'm not even my judgments on other people. But now that I know I'm not these things and these aren't facts, I can choose, you know, which ones I want to align myself with and
right.
get curious about the ones that are, you know, causing me a lot of suffering.
Well, there's so many questions I have. But, I mean, it's no wonder that Time magazine recently did their whole issue, I think it was March, called The Mindful Revolution. And there was Nat Geo that did February all on the brain. So it's definitely in the news, which is great. But let's talk about it in a practical way. So a friend of mine she runs her own computer business and lost her biggest giant client yesterday. And she was so stuck and so upset about it. And I was trying to pull up all of the tools that I have that could help her in that moment of being stressed and sad and frustrated and angry all at the same time. And how was I going to say to her, okay, just meditate? She was not going to hear that, you know? So I obviously didn't do it correctly. So what would you do if someone came to you, and as they probably have in that situation?
Well, first I would say, Lisa, that we're all imperfect. That's a sense of common humanity. So we're allowed to be as imperfect as we are and still, you know, really belong to a greater sense of the human race in that. And, you know, that's where I think kind of interpersonal mindfulness comes in, where, you know, really, you know, seeing what the person needed maybe in that moment wasn't to be fixed and didn't need problem solving, but really just needed the awareness, the acknowledgement of like, wow, this is a really hard moment for you. And,
right.
You know, and in life, certainly there's been really hard moments, and these moments come and go, and here's one now. This is part of being human, a hard moment and part of being human. You know, and I think the question is, because with her or with me, if something like that happened to me or you or anybody,
uh-huh.
again, most people in the human race, what naturally comes is this sense of the mind starts kind of catastrophizing.
Yes.
You know, I lost this client. What does that mean financially? What if I lose another client?
Yeah.
Wow, I put all my eggs in one basket, and I'm not going to be able to make my mortgage. I'm not going to be able to make my mortgage. My partner's going to leave me, and
right.
my kids and I will be all of a sudden homeless on the street. And what the brain recognizes isn't the first part, like, oh, my God, I lost this client. It recognizes I'm going to be homeless on the street.
That's right. We go right to that level. Uh-huh.
Absolutely. And that's a great, incredibly fearful place. And so the body starts going into kind of a frozen panic. And what happens is blood flow and activity literally kind of like leave this area behind our forehead, which is the prefrontal area, which is kind of more of the rational brain, you might say.
Mm.
And activity starts sparking in the center of our brain, the emotional center called the amygdala, and it starts kind of like, you can imagine it kind of growing and kind of breathing with these big, heavy breaths. And so we start kind of reacting from this real emotional center and get really anxious about it. One of the things that we know from science, as well as from all these thousands of years of tradition, is that when you're able to name something, when you're able to label something like, ah, this is anxiety, this is stress right now, you are more likely to be able to tame it. And that's what a good friend of mine, this guy, Dan Siegel, psychiatrist out of UCLA, as well as in L.A., has this great phrase called name it to tame it. And I ended up writing a whole chapter about that in the Now Effect. But because when we do that, what happens is we reduce activity in the amygdala, the emotional center, and we increase activity in this prefrontal area. So we literally balance the brain. So when we're feeling really anxious or stressed, one kind of quick tip or trick in some way that's a mindful example because it's bringing up awareness is just to kind of name the experience that's happening as it's happening.
Hmm. Sometimes when I do that, though, Elijah, we're having a session here, okay, is you get to the next moment of what's the problem, because her situation, she's like, well, what's wrong with my company? I can use myself as an example. This is really very candid and weird, but we've had two cats for, 13 years, great cats, and we got two more rescue kitties, and the two rescue kitties threw the two other older cats into a complete panic, and they have completely destroyed the house. I mean, they have peed on every single part of the carpet, and the fact that it's like soaked through to the bottom, and it's a mess. So we've had to rip it out, tear it up, all this. Bottom line is, the two older cats never have accepted the new cats. They've never embraced them. All the new cats want is love. They're never going to get it. I have to get rid of the two cats, the two new cats. Uh-huh. This has caused me stress for 6 months.
Absolutely.
Every time I look at these two cats, I go, what am I going to do with you? And I get more bonded to them, and my daughter loves them, and it's one of those things. So I look at that, and that's just a daily stressor, daily stressor, daily stressor, and then it makes me spiral. Well, we shouldn't have gotten them in the first place. Why did we get them? Because we were trying to appease this, because we got da 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 da. And that's exactly, if you tell me right now to name it to tame it, I'm going to name you 20 things.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying?
In other words, we kind of try and keep it simple. Well, first of all, you can't, none of the listeners or you can't see me right now, but as you were relaying that story, my body was like kind of cringing.
Yes.
I've been through something like that before.
Anybody who has.
You know what it is for cats to, make a mess of a house.
Take it over, yeah.
It's just terrible. You feel captive in your own house. But also to lose these cats that you might have felt a bond with. And, there's something maybe painful in that too. But, that we try and keep it simple by just kind of labeling something like an emotion. So maybe all the stressor is maybe kind of anxiety, or maybe there's grief there.
Totally.
And we try and keep it really simple in that way to not dive more into the story. And so let me just relay another piece of science that I think the listeners and everyone will be really interested to hear, because there's a part of our brain that does exactly what you're talking about, which is, it notices an imbalance in the body, like let's say the anxiety, or let's say the heart rate going up, or something that happens in relation to the cats, the anticipation that maybe they're going to ruin another thing, and it starts, it looks at that and says, okay, what's wrong here, and starts to anticipate maybe other things that could go wrong, or starts to analyze, the difficulty that's going on in your body, try and really figure it out. It has to problem solve. It's adaptive. Our brain is meant to help us survive, not to help us be happy. And that's a very important thing to understand, right?
That sucks.
I know. It totally sucks, right? But there's hope. There's hope. There's a lot of hope.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Because now we know through science that as we kind of label something and bring our awareness to where it is in the body, let's say the anxiety is a constriction in the chest, or maybe it's the
throat,
maybe it's the heartbeat going up. Yeah. Maybe you bring your hand to that area and you get curious about it. So remember, the definition of mindfulness is to intentionally pay attention to something with a sense of curiosity. And sometimes the term beginner's mind is thrown around. That's the idea of noticing something as if for the first time. Because what your brain is doing is saying, there's an uncomfortable feeling, I need to figure it out, I want to get away from it, I want to avoid it.
That's the other thing, is that I am a problem solver. That is what I do. I solve and solutionize all day long. I cannot find a solution to this.
Yeah, and your brain is doing that in the background even when you're not even trying to do that.
Right.
And so you can see it takes a lot of energy for that to go on all the time. And so what we know now is that when we pay attention to this feeling, this emotion, which is the exact opposite of what the brain wants to do, and also as we resist something, we know that famous adage, what we resist persists.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's so much truth to that. And so instead what we're doing is we're paying attention to it and getting curious about it. What's this feeling in the body? And what we know when we do that is that it dials down the activity in the part of the brain that's trying to ruminate and figure out and problem solve. And instead, it brings activity to this area of the brain that's more involved with kind of mapping the body. And so those are inversely correlated. So what that means is, as we are able to name an emotion, be simple about it, or even if there's no name for it, but there's just a feeling and you notice where it is in the body and get curious about it, it dials down the thinking, which is really the fuel for the fire here. And so this is a way, once we start doing this and getting some experience with it, we start to trust ourselves. We start to build, I can trust myself that if I start to kind of run, if my mind starts to run away with itself and I start getting really anxious or falling into maybe even a depressive kind of cycle, that I have something where I know that if I am able to be here with this feeling and even drop the question in, what do I need right now? Bring more consciousness and clarity to it and give myself that, I tend to become more balanced. And the more experience we get with that, the more automatic it is. And again, we start to build this sense of self-trust and self-reliance, which is the opposite of anxiety and depression or even traumatic reactions, because we feel safe and secure. And that's what we can build internally. That's where all the hope is. We're trying to kind of, right now, you know, in some way, the whole mindfulness revolution, which was originally actually a book by this guy, Barry Boyce, who is the editor of a wonderful magazine called Mindful, before the Time magazine one came out. But if we can build a sense of internal safety and security and have this innate sense that I can trust and rely on myself, we don't spiral quite as much.
Yeah, I'm going to try this. But I think that the best thing for me is just to, sit with the feeling, understand that this is creating sadness and frustration, and from there maybe the solution will come. Maybe just by talking with you, and I mentioned it on the radio, and someone out there wants two great cats, they'll email me.
Yeah, there you go. you'll receive it from.
They deserve a happy home. They deserve to be loved. Look, this is just an example that I'm using because most people have it. You know, a lot more severe situations going on. I don't mean to trivialize this with the cats. I am an animal lover. I'm an animal rights activist. I feel horrible that these cats have been rejected and I don't have a solution. So this was my example that I was using for this. But for anyone who's in, health crisis situations or loss of a loved one or these things that are chronic, unsolvable in the moment types of situations that are seemingly unsolvable in the moment, I get it. I get the level of anxiety that comes with that.
Yep.
And wonderful. The great thing is we have this fun drive here today at KPFK. And Dr. Goldstein has a program, which is a 28-day mindfulness meditation program. Now, this is what I call solution. This is what I call incredibly helpful and solution-oriented. And this is a really, really great idea. And we're offering this for the fun drive today, but I want to ask you a little bit about the program. Why did you create it, and what is the program?
So it's a 28-day program to whether someone's had doesn't have much practice in mindfulness or has had kind of a long-term practice in mindfulness. This is a way to either get oriented to experience with or deepen your practice and get introduced to mindfulness. I created it because people are right now kind of on the go. Not most people around the United States or around the world do not have access to not only do they not have access to a group where they can, or class or something like that, where they can get introduced to mindfulness and get trained in it or get the experience with it, but also the cost of these programs is really high.
Yes.
Quite honestly.
Yes.
So, not everyone can really even afford these programs or get to them, or people are on the go, so they want to be able to do it wherever they are. Some people travel quite a bit. And so I wanted to create a program that can be reached anywhere, anybody, anywhere, can be done at people's own time. And so this is a program that's in, just a definition, is kind of like it's an e-course. What happens is people start off the first week of the program getting introduced to mindfulness, immediately having experiences with it. So there's like 14 or 15 different audio-guided practices that people are prompted to come to as they go through it. And so they start off kind of simply getting used to mindfulness, bringing it into their day, integrating into their day, starting off with some practices that are there, and then they go deeper, building emotional intelligence and more of that body-oriented, mindful awareness in the second week. And the third week, they get introduced to something that is very critical and I think is probably one of the most important healing agents when it comes to our stress, and that's the idea of self-compassion and compassion.
Yes.
Self-compassion or compassion is just simply defined as recognizing a suffering in another person, in ourselves, with this inclination to want to help. And whether that's just kind of in our minds inclining to help or whether that's actually something physical that we're doing to inclining to help, that's the experience of compassion. And there was this guy, Matthew Ricard, who was brought over years ago to University of Wisconsin with the Dalai Lama, and they did tests on him. And, you know, I'm just going to tell you this one study because I think it's really fascinating. And this guy has had a lot of practice in this practice called loving kindness, which is just about kind of it's about cultivating compassion in a lot of ways. And it's one that's integral to that third week of the program. And what happened was they showed him a video of a guy who was a burn victim. And this may, you know, this may kind of cause you to cringe a little bit. And the video was of a guy, and they were peeling his skin off after a burn.
Wow.
And most of us would kind of feel this kind of inclination of kind of disgust, which is one of our is a universal human emotion, or maybe kind of cringing in some way. And what he experienced was something radically different. His experience, and this was measured as well, was of one of compassion. He recognized the suffering of that person with an inclination to want to help him. And that became automatic to him after years and years of practice. And so, you know, when I say there's hope, it's far more adaptive if we're feeling suffering to want to recognize that this is a difficult moment and inclined to want to support ourselves than to judge ourselves how inadequate we are or unworthy we are or deficient we are at something or how we'll never get things right or that kind of stuff, which only leads to greater anxiety and more depression.
What a great solution for you are not enough, that feeling
exactly.
of...
Exactly. So that's what that's meant to do. And in the fourth week, we're kind of working with balance more, working with the idea of understanding the impermanence of things, how these states that we experience, these thoughts that we experience, things in life have this natural occurrence of coming and going, and being able to walk through life with greater balance.
See, this is I find an incredible solution for people. I've often said meditation can get rid of your medication because you can literally heal the body. I've seen extreme cases of people even having dental work, of course, under using mindfulness practices. And it's the power of the mind is only just being discovered. It's so exciting to me, the research that is available now. And someone like Dr. Goldstein, who's seen this in his clinical practice for years, for decades, combined the scientific research that's available of what works and put it into a program. And this is what we call dripped content. So it will be something is delivered to your email box on a daily basis that catches you in the middle of whatever moment you might have been, you know, patterned to be in and gives you a moment. I'm in the program. I'm really excited. I got my fourth one today and I got to just take a second and stop, which is one of the exercises we'll go through in a minute, and really just check where's the stress level, what am I doing about it, and I get a 5-minute break from the chronic stress that hammers my body, and I get to repair. My immune system gets to have a chance to work, my blood pressure goes down, you know, cravings reduce. Mindfulness is such a key to so many things. I literally think as powerful as people think the memory exercises are and all those great things that stimulate your focus and memory, this is even, I would say even more powerful. You have to experience it. So for the fun drive here, we have an all-digital product. Now, this is something you need to have a computer and an email address for.
Or a phone or email address, yeah.
Okay, cool. And so you, when you call here, and the number is 818-985-KPFK, it's only a $100 donation to the station. Now, this, of course, is a station that gives you mindfulness, so you're contributing back to the one thing that gives you that great mindful awareness, news, education, health, healing information you really don't get anywhere else. And you are contributing to this wonderful station. And the $100 donation, then you get this great, wonderful mindfulness program. It's a 28-day program. And at the end of the 28 days, you have weeks that you go through, and the weeks have intentions focused around them. The week one is the basics. Week two is about emotions. Week three is about self-compassion, which is great to spend a whole week on that because it really is the solution for that not feeling enough. And week four is about the freedom that you get when you actually train the mind to let go. There's so many great processes that Dr. Goldstein goes through with urge surfing. I mean, to recognize the urge and let it just go by like a wave. And this can help with addiction. It can help if you're stressed, if you're transitioning from work to home, if you're getting on an airplane and you have phobias. All sorts of things can be resolved and worked with throughout your mind. So the number again, 818-985-KPFK. So I want to see 10 people give us a call right now to donate $100 to the station that would like to have better focus, that would like to have reduced stress, that would like to lower your blood pressure, that would like to experience a greater sense of calm in your life and really invigorate your body and wanting to learn new things. I mean, when was the last time you really learned something new? Well, last time you listened to The Aware Show. But this is the opportunity to want to learn fun new things. And so this is an e-course. Again, you need to call with your email address and give it very clearly to the phone volunteer and have them repeat it back to you so that you can make sure the communication is received. The number again, 818-985-KPFK. Okay, I have five people calling right now who really want to, who are, first of all, getting it, so thank you. This is for the experienced meditator, or this is for someone who's beginning to understand the deeper power of integrating mindfulness into the daily life. We don't have to, I mean, stress is the number one cause of disease. It is. So is there anything that your doctor tells you, oh, just reduce your stress and then take this medication? Well, the reducing the stress is the 99% of it. And then you can take a placebo and you would have the same exact result. So this is the contribution that I wanted to make to you today, along with Dr. Goldstein, to give you this information, this gift of awareness. And your contribution then, as a reciprocal effect, is to donate money to KPFK to keep this wonderful radio station on, the only one left of its kind, with no commercials. And that's because it's sponsored by the listeners. So we are here to ask you for fundraising during this time, but we're also dedicated, completely, wholly dedicated to giving you something that will last way beyond the $100 donation. Trust me, this is a 28-day course that could transform your entire life. I mean, what's that worth for you? And what's the stress costing you, really? So the number again, 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. I think we have 10 callers. There we go. Cool. All right. 10 people have given us a call right now. And this, again, is a gift to you. It is, but it's for a donation. I didn't say that right, but you know what I mean. Fun drive style. It's just because my heart's in the right place. I really want to be able to help you understand that the science is clear here about what mindfulness does for your life and for your body and your relationships and your business. I mean, before you go on to that phone call where you're either trying to find a new client or you have a job interview or any of those things, just 5 minutes of stopping. And we can go through one of the programs here. The STOP program is a great one to give us an example of. By the way, the number again, 818-985-KPFK. So what is, just a short one, the STOP, S-T-O-P?
That's probably the first introductory practice in the in the program. The reason I use that as an introductory practice is because it's the our brain loves acronyms and loves to chunk things, and we can remember them that way. And there's only four letters, and I think our brain can remember kind of pretty easily up to seven, so this has four. So something we can carry with us throughout the day. And it's about a one-minute practice also, so there's not a lot of barrier or obstacle to actually engaging with it, and it gives an immediate experience. And most people get it, you can get it as soon as you you do it. There's some kind of experience. So it just stands for STOP, which is, again, the acronym, so the first letter just stands for that. And the T stands for take a few deep breaths. And, you know, in some ways, we don't even recognize all throughout the day. I teach programs all the time in mindfulness, and most of the time we don't even recognize that we can take a few deep breaths many times throughout the day because we're so hooked on autopilot that we're not aware of the spaces where we could do that. So stop, take a few deep breaths, give yourself that luxury, observe your experience. So this is about popping out of autopilot and tuning in. So our experience in any given moment includes three things. It includes our body, our emotional state, and where our mind is. And so it's just, you just start paying attention to your body. And in the program, you're led through this. You have an audio-guided practice that leads you through this. But you just notice your body. How are you sitting? What's the positioning of your body? Oftentimes we walk around in kind of a slumped-over state or our posture's not so good. So you're just kind of being aware of that. That affects our mood state and the way our thoughts go as well. And you're also aware, is there any tension in the body or tightness? There's so much benefit to just doing that kind of part of the simple practice because, again, oftentimes we're walking around or we're sitting over a computer or something, and we're really tense. And when we sit like that, we wonder at the end of the day why our body hurts or our shoulders
hurt. Yes, yes.
We have more moments of kind of just waking up and saying, oh, look how I'm holding my body. There's tension somewhere. And we can stop and just kind of roll our shoulders or give ourselves a gentle massage or just shift our posture. That's powerful enough just in and of itself. But then we also are aware of our emotional state because our emotions drive our brain's perception of things and its decision-making. And so if you're angry or sad or frustrated or stressed, in one moment you're going to interpret someone walking by and not waving at you one way. If you're feeling happy and you're feeling, you know, calm and relaxed, you're going to interpret it another way. And I'm not saying to switch your emotion because that's impossible, but what I am saying is have some awareness, being aware of your emotional state can help us have awareness of how we may be interpreting things maybe askew. The more stress we have, usually the more inaccurate our thoughts are. So askew, so we can have some cognitive flexibility by being open to the idea that maybe there's another way I can see this, so we can really turn our stress down. So we're just observing our body, we're observing our emotions, and then we're asking ourselves, is my mind really busy and scattered? Or is it settling in and able to focus on this practice? So you're also aware if you're feeling really scattered in the moment, if you're able to focus. Then the P, so that all pops you out of autopilot and gives you some connection to yourself in the moment. The P stands for proceed. So that's when you just continue, but you usually ask yourself a question, which is, what's most important for me to pay attention to right now? What really matters right now? And this helps us refocus.
Get out of overwhelm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's huge, to get out of overwhelmed, that place where I hear it all the time, I'm overwhelmed. What does that do to your immune system? It completely suppresses it. It's a trigger for suppressing it. And that's huge. So then after you ask yourself, what's the most important thing to pay attention now, what do you do?
That answer arises. So maybe, for example, you're feeling so stressed that the idea is that what I need to do is I need to go outside and go on a short walk, or maybe I need to take a few deep breaths and continue with another practice, or maybe I'm feeling really hungry right now, that's why I'm feeling so irritable, maybe I need to get myself a snack, or maybe I'm mindlessly eating right now, so maybe this isn't what it is, I need to slow down.
Right.
You know, so you're asking yourself, what is it that I need, what's most important, and you're kind of going along with that. If you're fiddling around on, not that Twitter and Facebook are bad, I use it all the time, but if you're twiddling around on a variety of tabs on your phone, and that's not really what matters. What matters is this big project in front of you. Maybe we need to get back to the project because it's going to get continually overwhelming if we don't pay attention to it. Maybe break it down into smaller sizes. So I think the point is that we get better and better at paying attention to what matters. And research has shown this too. So by the way, let me tell you, you were talking about the cost of stress. I created a program that called Mindfulness at Work that was studied by Duke University and Aetna, and is now kind of in Aetna and many other healthcare companies. And they took a sample of like 700 of their workers, and they found that that from the least stressed to the most stressed, there was a difference in healthcare claims of $2,000.
What?
That's pretty huge.
Wow.
$2,000. That's right. And so, you know, by going through a program like this 28-day program, but Mindfulness at Work is a different program, but there's a lot of similarities to it, the participants went down 9 points on this scale, with well-validated scale called a perceived stress scale. And each one of those points they calculated is worth about $90. So their participants saved about $900 per employee. They saved about $900 per employee by going through this program. And so that's just the stress part. And then when they measured productivity, they recognized that with this other questionnaire, they recognized that people were 69 minutes more productive per week. Because they're actually paying attention to what they're intending to pay attention to. That's the P of stop, proceed by what's most important to pay attention to. They're paying attention to what they intended to pay attention to for 69 more minutes a week. And so when they did their calculations with that, there was like a savings of like $3,100. So there was a huge savings for people practicing mindfulness in the workplace all by itself.
Interesting.
So there's a big cost to it, and there's a big savings to it as far as just the economy is concerned.
And think about the diet industry. I mean, there's 7 zillion diets out there. The biggest challenge with all of those diets and not achieving the weight loss is the mindful awareness around it. Is that moment where you stop yourself, you check in, you do a 5-minute meditation before you grab for the potato chips, before you grab for the things that are not going to support your diet. And if we could just have that as a major part of every single program out there, they would all work. And it would be great. And it would all, everyone would have beautiful, healthy, fit bodies. And it would be, you know, just that one piece is the gap between what you know and what you do. And it happens with everything, you know, old patterns reacting. And, you know, if you came from an abusive home or if you came from, you know, a mentally abusive home, what's that moment that you can take before you turn around and do that to your family? And you could just solve so many generational issues with mindfulness. I'm a huge proponent of it, huge fan of it. I think it's very solution-oriented, and it's something everyone can do because everyone has a brain. And you just need to learn how to use it. So that's why I'm passionate about this. And Dr. Goldstein is a local practitioner here. He's a local therapist. And I love that we have something that's from someone local that we can support and who's also supporting us here on the station. So again, the number here is 818-985-KPFK. And the donation is a $100 donation, but this is something that you own forever. I mean, you get the 28 days, and the email comes to you from Dr. Goldstein's office because it comes once a day. And when you get the 28 days, you can go back and look at the exercises that worked for you. You can take on those. There's several guided meditations throughout the program as well. There's ones that you can learn to do on your own that you could, you know, standing in the line of the grocery store. Grocery store line rage is a big issue in this country. And, you know, you can do all of these types of things. And the science behind it is very, very strong about the reducing of stress, the lowering the blood pressure, the attention that matters, the focus points that matter. And all of that combined with just a daily practice is something that is, it's solution-oriented. So, again, the number here, 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735. If you want, you can ask the volunteer in the phone room for a payment plan. They can split it up over, you know, 6 months payments or 12 months. It's like $8 a month or something like that if you do it over the year. And you get the content. When the fun drive is over, then you'll get the content. You'll be able to start listening and enjoying it right away. And when the fun drive is over. So again, it's a 28-day, and everyone knows that when you do a habit for 21 or more days, it becomes ingrained as a habit. So 818-985-KPFK. Let me see 5 more people who want to be able to transition from work to home, who want to be able to have mindful eating practices, who want to lower blood pressure, who wants to reduce stress in your life, but you don't know how. And any time of the day that you're feeling stuck, this is something that you can go back to for a practice. I mean, once again, if you once you get the program in all 28 days, you have it forever. So you can go back. You can teach other people what you've learned. You can help your children. You can help your parents. You know, it's just one of those things that you can stick with you for forever. For, you know, it starts to give you a new set of tools in your toolbox, which is really wonderful. There's a journaling process that's encouraged. There's communication. So it's really great. So I encourage you to give us a call here, 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735. Let's have five people give us a call right now who are able to call, donate $100 to the station, and you must have a computer and give us your email address. And once again, it's a 28-day meditation program, and it comes to you once a day and catches you in that wonderful place. The guided meditations, these are ones that you recorded, right, Dr. Goldstein?
Yep, that's right.
And about how long are the meditations?
You know, I made it so it's kind of customizable to the person. So the so depending on the person, where they're at, what their experience level is, or what they feel they have time for, the meditations are anywhere from 5 to 15 to 30 minutes. So each meditation, or each of the, once they get to some of the introductory meditations are in the first week are only 5 or 15 minutes, or even less. Sometimes they're 2 or 5 or 15 minutes. And then as they go on to the program, they have the option of taking like a 5, a 15, or a 30 minute of whatever that meditation is going to be.
And have you had a lot of people go through the program?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're getting some really powerful emails back from people and experiences of actually them opening up to things they never knew were there before. Like, for example, you know, someone who was going through the program kind of wrote back and said that there's so many things that they were recognized that they were doing in their life that they weren't even wanting to do, that they didn't even realize weren't even good for them, and now they're opening up and seeing other choices and options. I think one of the kind of pivotal quotes that kind of sums up some of this stuff is by, and you've heard this certainly this quote, Lisa, before, but by Viktor Frankl, which is, between stimulus and response, there's a space. In that space lies our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. And it seems to me that a lot of the people who are taking this program are experiencing more of that space, where they're recognizing more choices in their lives so they can maybe even be aware of some of the good that's happening that they're not even aware of. There's one guy I used to, I taught in a program one time who I did this simple practice where he was becoming aware of a raisin, and he was bringing his senses to this raisin. And he said, and so it took about 10 minutes to go through this. You can imagine, you were talking about mindful eating, about being aware of this raisin, eating this raisin. And he said, you know, my whole life I've been eating raisins, just handfuls after the other. And a lot of people who go through this type of practice say, one raisin can be so much to it that I never knew that was there before. It could be so satisfying, a single raisin, a single piece of food. And so he says that my whole life I've been shoveling raisins down my mouth, and it's only now I realize I don't even like raisins. and so there it was. So how many things are we doing in our life just out of routine? Our brain is wired towards routine. And so this is about a very simple and systematic practice about waking up, training our brain to wake up a little bit more to the choices and the choice points in our lives, and recognizing maybe the good in a moment that we're not aware of because we're so busy in our routine that we just don't pay attention to it, and so we can wake up and take it in. That's an experience of savoring the good that's there, which brings more activity to the part of our brain that's more associated with resiliency and happiness. And I think that's an important point that we want to touch on here, which is, you know, this isn't just about stress reduction and
great point.
You know, getting better with anxiety and depression and stuff like that. It has all of those pieces to it, but also opens us up to a life that we may have been missing. You know, again, we're wired towards routine, and so a lot of us get to the end of our lives or later on in life and wake up at some point and say, like, whoa, look how fast that went. I think it's actually probably a universal human experience that when, as we get older, we look back and say, wow, this has gone by so quickly.
Raising children, exactly.
It's a universal human experience.
Uh-huh.
So the question is, how do we wake up to the moments and savor the preciousness of this life? A butterfly lives anywhere between 24 hours and a month. So there's a preciousness to that. A flower comes and goes. So sometimes we recognize the preciousness of that. But our lives, we live, many decades, hopefully, into the later part of the 80s or 90s or whatever. But still, there's a preciousness to that because it goes by so fast. So how do we wake up to the preciousness of our life? And mindfulness helps us do just that. And that's not just the experience of thousands and thousands of people. That's what all the science is pointing to, too, when we're talking about correlations with happiness. And, so we're getting clearer and clearer on the power behind this. And not to make it out like it's some major panacea and you do this and life will just be wonderful throughout the rest of your life. It's more of like you are building an internal locus of control. Uh-huh. In other words, that's that sense of self-trust and self-reliance. So you're feeling more grounded, more rooted, more opening up to what matters. And imagine, what would the days, weeks, and months ahead be like if you more regularly woke up to what matters?
Yes, and I love what you said about increasing happiness and joy. I mean, how often do you stare off into space with your brow creased and you don't know where your mind is and it's, you've lost the control? And that's those types of moments you can seize back. You can own that time back. You can stop the negative chatter that seems to be just be kind of unconscious and running your life and make your choice on what it is that you want to daydream about and feel good. It is our jobs to feel good. And that's why we, do the things that we do. We look through all these other substances to help us feel good. Well, what if you can control that with your mind? When you go through a run or a workout or something where you get that endorphin, that high, that runner's high, they call it. It's such an invincible feeling. It's such a great feeling. Well, that's caused because endorphins are releasing and those are happy opiates are releasing in your brain. And those types of, serotonin is pooling and those types of neurotransmitters and those happy chemicals in the brain are what turns the brain into the trajectory of happiness and joy. So meditation does the same thing. It can literally create a cascade of neurotransmitters and chemicals in the brain that are your happy transmitters, your dopamine and all those great happy transmitters. I like that word. It's a new scientific term. Yeah. But it does. It helps you just add color to life, joy back in life. And if you've been through stressful situations or grief or trauma, you owe it to yourself to bring that joy back into your life. It helps you. It helps your family. Could help your business, all those things. So I'm again asking the listeners to contribute to yourself by contributing to this radio station. And the number here again is 818-985-KPFK. And this is the opportunity for you to find the balance that people say, oh, I need more balance in my life. Well, this is the how. I love talking about things that are needed in life, but I love even more giving the practical solutions on the Aware Show. That's what the Aware Show is about. It's awareness around practical solutions and finding a life that works. So this particular radio station works on a fund drive model. We have a full listener-sponsored radio station here. So what people put in is what you get out in KPFK. It's been around for 50 years like that. So obviously, people like the station and are listening to the station, and we're asking you once again for support for the station. But what I love is times a godzillion giving you back what you put in. And this particular course, this mindfulness meditation 28-day course, will give you tenfold what you put in here. So it is a $100 donation to the station. You must give the volunteers in the phone room your email address. Make sure they repeat it back to you. So message sent, message received there. You want to make sure that you get the content. And you can even ask them if you could split it up into payments. 6 months, $15 or $16 a month. 12 months is $8.33 a month. So ask them in the phone room. Again, the number 818-985-KPFK. We have about 5 or 6 minutes left in the show. And now that you've understood the benefits of meditation and what it reduces in your life and what it adds to your life, now, I would love to ask you to call 818-985-KPFK, and it's a $100 donation. We have about 5 or 6 minutes left here, so you've learned a lot. We've talked a lot, and I hope that you have taken this on as something that's not just a radio show that you hear about that might be cool someday to think about, but you really understand the science behind this, and you understand the benefits of this. I mean, there's studies that have been done in insurance and healthcare companies that understand that this is a viable solution to increasing overall health. And that's amazing. So there's about 14 different guided meditations in the program, and there's also meditations that you can read about and then do. There's journaling. It just helps when you have a buddy, though, when you have a system. And there's some programs out there that are upwards of like $2,000 for one of, you know, the older programs out there. This is a $100 donation to the station. Dr. Goldstein has been kind enough to donate his product to us. And again, it's all digital, so you don't have to wait for anything to come in the mail. You don't have to worry about it getting lost or us, you know, this is our green solution here is digital offerings. And so once you get this offer, by the way, you can listen to it over and over and over again. You can teach it to your family. You can create something that Dr. Goldstein talks about, raising the mindful family, and how to teach these types of, you know, you could do a 2-minute practice before dinner. It's non-dogmatic. You don't need to, you know, have a religion to do this. You can just center, ground, and connect in 2 minutes. What a great way, of course, benefits of that. There's a lot of studies on sitting around the dinner table with friends and family and what that does for children. So this is a great thing to do at the beginning of that 2-minute meditation at the beginning of a dinner. You're set. You're done. You're great. So anyway, the number here, 818-985-KPFK. I want to thank the people who are calling because you understand what we're talking about here and how viably beneficial this is for your health, your life, your well-being, your happiness quotient, all of that. So you guys are getting it and you're calling and I'm really happy about that. Thank you. The number again, 818-985-KPFK. And once you get this program, it's yours forever. The 28 days comes once a day, which is helpful. Why did you choose to do it over that type of, like that type of system?
28-day program?
Each day.
I felt like that was, are you talking to me?
Yeah, for each day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for each day? You mean why did I break it up into those different weeks?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay, because, it made sense to me that there was an introductory piece that people immediately experience what mindfulness is. And so some of the introductory practices and that introductory week, which is about starting to get those experiences, no matter where you are in your practice, whether you've had a long-term practice or not, immediately give, like, some sense of the benefit that's there. And then before that, before kind of deepening into the body and cultivating like a little bit more emotional intelligence, which happens in the second week, which is really big in whatever business that you're in, you need kind of the precursor to be able to set that up. And then I think to go into things like self-compassion and compassion, you don't need mindfulness to go into self-compassion, but it's really helpful to have had that experience before you start diving into how to deal with difficult feelings or you know, whether that's a kind of harder stress or as you were experiencing grief or sadness and even anger and frustration, it's better to have had the experience of mindfulness before kind of starting to dive into some of those harder areas of like that. And the idea of balance of there's a term called equanimity, which is being able to kind of stand in balance in a lot of ways in the face of the what Zorba the Greek said, the full catastrophe of life that happens, the good, the bad, all of it that's happening. And so you're kind of building the skills as you go. And I felt like 28 days was felt doable for a lot of people with a program like this. I mean, I think as you were saying, I mean, I teach programs like this that cost, way higher than $100,
right.
$600-$700. And then I think I was mentioning the corporate savings from Aetna and Duke University's research, which was the $867 per employee just from the stress reduction of healthcare costs, and then upwards of $3,000 in
That's
productivity
huge.
That happened from kind of doing this type of work.
That is huge. And you've made it so practical. The program is interactive in a way because you can, well, first of all, you can download it from your smartphone or from wherever you are. If you're at the line at the bank or something, you can read it over again. The one that I got, which I recently got, which I loved, which is Today's Intention, was to be present throughout the day. And then there's a mini mindful moment challenge that Dr. Goldstein does. Is after you take this little 24-hour challenge, then you email him and say, okay, what you noticed, and start to get some feedback, which is wonderful to have access to someone like Dr. Goldstein and just to really share your story of what you're experiencing. The other thing is How many times have you gotten into a program and you got the whole program and then you forget about it? By day 5, 6, 7, you just leave it on the shelf. That's the beauty of the 28 days, is it forms a habit. And it reminds you every single day, oh, hey, remember me? I'm mindfulness. I can really help you in your life. Here I am in your inbox again. And you, how many times are you staring at that email on your smartphones? I mean, this is something that is incredibly practical. Dr. Goldstein lives in Los Angeles. He knows how busy we tend to get in this very, very hectic city here. And he's offering solutions to be able to create mindfulness around it. Science-based programs. Of course, we know the benefits of it. We've talked about the happiness and the joy. And now we're asking for you to give us a call because we are raising funds at this radio station. And my main goal is to contribute to your awareness. So this kind of does both. And the number again, 818-985-KPFK. I'm doing the program. I'm excited about it. I'm on day 4. And so thank you so much for that, Dr. Goldstein. I really love stuff like this. I really, really appreciate it. And I'll save it in my little folder under your name, and then I'm going to go back to it and learn it. So I have my systems here, and I'm really excited about it. So once again, I'm asking for listeners, let's get 10 more people to call. You guys have been so wonderful with understanding, and I hope we've communicated clearly enough what we are talking about today. And it's about increasing your happiness and joy. It's about being giving to yourself. That's such an ambiguous term. We hear it all day long. But how? How do you do that? Well, you get a program like this that gives you an email a day with an exercise or a downloadable audio practice. You can even save the audio practices on your phone and listen to those if you're not going after the meditation every single day. If you find something you love, just download it on your phone. Listen to it before you go to bed. Play it for your child before they're going to sleep. There's so many great benefits here. And so you guys are getting it. Keep giving us a call, 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. There's 28 emails that you get. Make sure to give the volunteer in the phone room your email address and make sure they repeat it back to you very clearly so that you can get this. And this isn't one of those products you stick up on the shelf. This is something that you use. I want you to use it. I want you to get the benefits. I want you to interact with Dr. Goldstein. I want you to understand and feel the benefits. I want you to feel good. And that's the bottom line. So keep going here, 818-985-KPFK. We've got two more people that are giving us a call. Again, we're supporting public radio, which is KPFK, and to keep the station alive. It's done so by your support. No commercials here. Never has been. Never will be. It's only you. So thank you so much once again for allowing us to come to you to ask you to contribute to the station. But my goal and our goal at the Aware Show is to get to have it return back to you 1,000-fold. And this absolutely does that. So thank you so much for your calls. Calls are still coming in. They can come in throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the fund drive. Give us a call, 818-985-KPFK. Thank you so much, Dr. Goldstein. I appreciate your donation.
This has been so great. And just to let people know, as a bonus to this, throughout the program, there's little plots of Q&A, question and answer, where you send me a question that you're having from throughout the program. I directly answer it and bring it out to the community of people that are answering it, too.
Cool.
So it is kind of that live interactive type component, too. So you're not set alone just on this program by yourself. There is kind of support as you go through it.
That is well thought out. Thank you. Very cool. So once again, we're bringing you something that increases your awareness. And until next time, I invite you to stay aware.